Deuteronomy chapter 15, please, and the words here of the verse 15 where we read, "And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore, I command thee this thing today. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt." Let's just, with our Bibles open, bow briefly and momentarily in prayer, asking for the Lord to give us grace and help as we consider his truth today. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for a sense of thy presence already. The act of remembrance, we thank thee that even today we can take that time just to acknowledge thy goodness towards this nation, in order to pray for protection for our forces. We thank the Lord that in that sense, every Lord's Day is an act of remembrance. For we remember the Lord's death. We remember our Saviour. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that thou will come and prepare our hearts now as we consider thy word. Speak to each one who is gathered. And we pray that thou wilt meet us all at the point of our own particular individual need. We ask that in answer to prayer, thou wilt magnify, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his precious and worthy name. Amen and amen. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians in the chapter 15 and the verse 10, the Apostle Paul declared, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." That statement that Paul made is, of course, the experience. It is a testimony of every Christian, every man, woman, and young person who has been born again by the Spirit of God. That is our testimony, our experience. All that we are, have, and ever will be is by and due to the grace of God. And Paul, God's servant, he recognized that very fact, that he was nothing more, nothing less, apart from the grace of God freely bestowed upon him. Not only did he recognize it, but of course, he rejoiced in that fact. He praised the Lord for his standing, and we as God's people, we have so much to thank and to praise the Lord for. But of course, it was something that he wanted to consistently remember. He didn't want to forget it. He didn't want it to be out of his mind or away from his thoughts, but he wanted to remember constantly, daily. And we find that that was the case, that the Apostle Paul remembered the pit from whence he had been dug, that place where God had delivered him from. The theme of remembrance is constantly highlighted and expressed throughout all of Scripture, throughout all of the Word of God. In fact, in the Old Testament alone, we find that the word remember occurs some 122 times. That's not without a significance. You see, the Lord wants us to remember certain things. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 15, the Lord here speaking to his people, he calls them to remember something very special. In the words of verse 15 here we read, "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt." Don't forget it. Remember it. Let it constantly be before you. But remember this, "And the Lord thy God redeemed thee." One of the most amazing hymns, and I suppose well-known and loved hymns, is that of "Amazing Grace," penned by John Newton in 1779. It is being translated into over 50 different languages worldwide. It's probably the most well-known and well-loved hymn universally across the world. Newton, of course, had a very harsh and rough and tough upbringing. His mother died when he was young, and just a young boy at the age of 11, he went to work with his father upon the sea in the ship. At 23 years of age, he had already progressed through the ranks, come to the place where he was captain of his own ship. And on many occasions, not just one time, but on many occasions, he faced death on the tumultuous seas on which he voyaged. But God, time after time, spurred him, intervened. And John Newton came to know what it was to have his sins forgiven and be born again of the Spirit of God. Newton not only was a converted slave trader and captain of a ship, but he also became a minister and a preacher of the gospel in London. He wanted to have it etched, not only upon his heart, but in front of his eyes, the very fact that God had been so merciful and good to him. And so John Newton had placed above the fireplace in his study a text of Scripture. It was the words of Deuteronomy chapter 15, the words, verse 15. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. This theme of God's grace, his unmerited favor, there's nothing that we can do or have done or will do that will cause God to have mercy on us and to favor us. God's grace, he gives it freely. There's nothing we can do. And this theme of the amazing grace of God is here highlighted in Deuteronomy chapter 15. I want us to consider here this morning, under this verse here, the verse 15, the theme of remembering what God has done. Remembering what God has done. You see, here we have an instruction, first of all, to remember. Notice what the Lord here says in verse 15. He says, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. The Lord here gives to his people very clear, very direct instructions. They were precisely told what to do. You see, as the Lord's people entering into the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey, there would be many things that the Lord would instruct his people to remember and to consider. And as they would go forth and they would inherit the promised land, God was saying to them, now, I don't want you to forget me. And there are certain things that you must remember, certain things that you have to keep. They'll protect you, they'll guard you, etc. A number of things, for instance, they were to remember the Lord's Sabbath. That was one of the things that they were to remember as God's people. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, we read, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That day had been set aside by the Lord. And whenever we consider that God created all things, and he created all things out of nothing, he only had to speak the word and it was formed and it was done. Mountains stand forth. Let there be light, and there was light. God only had to speak the word. Of course, only God has the ability to create out of nothing. But after the sixth day, and on the sixth day he created, of course, man, the Lord set aside the next day, the Lord's day, the seventh day, the Sabbath. You think of the very first day that Adam had upon earth. The very first full day that Adam experienced. It was the Lord's day. You see, man was made that man might know God, have fellowship with God, enjoy God. This is our chief end and chief purpose in life. The Lord's people, they were not only instructed to remember his Sabbath, but also his strength. You turn with me, please, in Deuteronomy to the chapter 8. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, should I say. Look at verse 18. Well, the Lord would just remind his people exactly what he'd done for them in every aspect of life. Look at verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And they would be reminded about the Lord's strength, his help, his mercy, his grace toward them. Then here in Deuteronomy 15, with the words of verse 15, we're told that the Lord was commanding his people, instructing them. They weren't just to remember his Sabbath, his strength, but also his salvation. What he had done for them. Can I say, child of God, let us never forget where God has brought us from. Let us daily, let us constantly, continually thank and praise the Lord for his hand of salvation in our lives. Oh, you know, oftentimes the devil would seek to get our focus and our attention and to have it placed in other things and other problems and difficulties. And let me say, we all face trials. We all face problems. You know, it doesn't matter what the person is. We all have our various challenges, don't we? And the devil would seek to have our attention and our gaze and our focus placed on those difficulties, upon those things. And can I suggest that in those times that we consider just what the Lord has done for us, his hand of redemption and bringing us out of the miry clay. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone here this morning and you're not a Christian. You're not saved. You can't remember a day or a time or experience in your life when by faith you came to the cross. You're still in your sin. Well, friend, the free offer of the gospel is extended to you today, whosoever will may come. You can come today in simple childlike faith and call upon the name of the Lord. Just recently, one of my friends, his mother, came to faith in Christ. Just in the past couple of weeks, and what a joy that was. God's unmerited favor. You see, here is the reality, that every man and woman is a bond man, is a servant. You might say, well, I'm not enslaved to anybody. But the Bible speaks of the reality that man, by his very nature, he is enslaved and he's in bondage to sin. And no matter how much man wants to break free from it and to deliver himself from it, he's unable to do that. Man has not got the ability to free himself from his bondage and from his sin. But Christ has. Notice what it says here in verse 15. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman. Child of God, there was a time, there was a day and an hour when you and I, we were bondmen, bondwomen. And no matter how much we tried, and no matter how much we sought to do, we couldn't free ourselves. We were held in the chains of our sin. But praise God, there came one who redeemed us, one who saved us. The Lord thy God, he redeemed thee. Now, of course, that word redemption, that redeemed here, speaks about the price paid to purchase. You think of how the Lord purchased our salvation with his own precious royal ruby blood. You think of the price that was paid there at the cross when the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, a ransom for many. We remember the Lord's Sabbath. God's people will remember his strength, his salvation. What about his statutes? The Lord there told them that they were to remember his commandments. Let me just read the verse to you. Numbers chapter 15, verse 40. That ye may remember and do all my commandments. Then the Lord also instructed his people that they were to remember his sovereignty, his standard, and so many other aspects of God's nature and God's power and God's ability. And God was just saying, focus on me and what I've done for you. We ought to remember. The Lord has given us this clear instruction to remember. We not only see the instruction to remember, but there's also here the importance of remembering. Why is it so important? Well, can I say, even today on a day of remembrance, it is of vital importance that we remember as a nation. It's of vital importance that we never forget. Because here we are today with an open Bible, with an open church door, with the freedom, the liberty to come in and to worship God today. And let me say, we have this freedom at great cost. We think of young lives, teenagers, who in two world wars went out never to return again. One of the great heartaches that my own mother bore was that as a young girl, she kissed her brother goodbye as he set off in the Navy in the Second World War, never to return. Just like so many others. And it is important that we do remember as a nation. But can I say, as God's people, it is vital that we remember His goodness, His grace, His mercy toward us. It is so important. It's important because it will produce, God willing, a number of things in our lives. It certainly will bring about gratitude. It will bring about a thankful heart. You know, the more as we think about the Lord and what He's done for us and how He saved us and redeemed us, surely it causes our hearts just to be overwhelmed with praise and with joy. For all the Lord has done for me, I will never cease to praise Him. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Our hearts are overwhelmed with praise and with joy. That was the experience, wasn't it? Of the children of Israel who left Babylon. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And even the ungodly took notice. The Lord hath done great things for them, whereof they are glad. Child of God, can I suggest and say and emphasize that our lives ought to be characterized and marked out with praise. Think of Job. Though he slay me, yet will I praise Him. We have so much to thank the Lord for. It will not only produce gratitude in our hearts and eyes, but also it will guard us and it will guide us through life, keeping us from forgetting about the Lord, from focusing on those things that not only are difficulties in our lives and distractions, but they bring disappointment and they bring disillusionment. And the Lord would have us to focus upon Him that we might be kept throughout life. Turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 9. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 9, we read here in the verse 12, "And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves." Now I want you to notice these words, striking words. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. That's incredible. It's incredible when you consider all that the Lord had done for them and how He had blessed them, how He had revealed Himself to them, how He had brought them out, how He had saved them, how He had redeemed them, how He had been so good to them. And yet quickly, they turn aside from following Him. Can I suggest to you that is a proneness of all of our hearts, the human heart. Robert Robinson, who penned that beautiful hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." What a tremendous, wonderful hymn in our hymn book. And he experienced that reality of turning aside and leaving the Lord and going astray. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2 we read, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." That's the reality of the human heart, that we do and we can forget the Lord. And here the Lord instructs his people. He gives them this commandment. He's speaking to his people here, and he's saying, "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Never forget it. Remember that I redeemed you. Remember how good I've been to you. Be thankful. Be a praising people. And let it keep you from turning aside." Can I say that here in the chapter, the main thrust of this remembrance had to do not only with being grateful and having that spirit of gratitude, and also remembering the Lord for his goodness, that they might guard them and guide them, but also we find here that the Lord instructed his people, "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, how the Lord redeemed them, that they might be a generous people." Now, I want you to notice here the emphasis in the chapter. If you look with me here, for instance, at the verse 7, you notice the words in the latter part of the verse, "Thou shalt not harden thine heart." And here the Lord is speaking about the poor within the gates. You see, the reality was that the Lord's people were always going to have those who were less fortunate amongst them. They were going to have the poor amongst their number. That would make up their ranks. So they were always going to be there. And the Lord here not only invites his people to be kind to them and to be gracious unto them, but he commands them, "Thou shalt not harden thine heart." Don't have a hard heart, the Lord is saying here. Look at verse 8. "But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him." So not only were they not to have a hard heart, but they were to have an open hand and be willing. And then look at verse 10. "Thou shalt surely give him." Verse 11. "Therefore I command thee this thing," or thee saying, "thou shalt open thine hand wide." Look at the latter part of verse 12. "Thou shalt let him go free from thee." Look at verse 14. "Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock." Basically, the Lord here was reminding his people about the time whenever there was that year of release. You see, in the land, the Lord instructed his people that every seventh year was to be a land of agricultural rest. The fields were not to be ploughed, etc., but they were to be given over to a time of rest. But the Lord also made provision for the poor in the land. God demanded his people to be compassionate towards them, to be mindful of them. It's a reminder of the family of God, and the support and the care and the love that we have toward each other. A certain part of the land, the fields, the vineyards, were set apart for the poor and for the needy. A man, therefore, he could go and he could gather from those crops, so those things that were left over in the ground. The Lord was saying, "Now listen, make sure you leave a little for the less fortunate. Make sure there's some gathering there for the poor." And the story of Ruth, of course, reminds us of that. But if a man was unable to provide for his family by simply gathering the leftovers, then he could enter into contract and he could become a servant, a slave. And he could, in a sense, for that time, enslave himself to his master, and he could work in order to provide. And each time the seventh year would come around, the Lord made provision that that person who was in bondage, who was in slavery, he was able to leave. And we read earlier how that if the person loved his master so much, he could stay and he would have that mark through the year, etc. But here the Lord was reminding his people, there's going to come a time when the poor in the land, they're going to come up to that seventh year of release. Don't have a hard heart to him. Don't say to that person, "Well, I'm going to withhold, because remember how I have dealt with you. Remember how I have been so kind to you, so gracious unto you." And it's speaking, of course, about the spirit that we ought to have of loving kindness one toward another. And here the Lord was reminding them that they were to consider those who were in need. We look out today, don't we, upon a world that is in great need, a world that is lost in sin, and what tremendous need there is. When we think of the word here, the Lord speaking about commanding them, you notice a latter part here, verse 15, where the Lord says, "Therefore I command thee this thing today." That command is in reference to them being compassionate and kind and generous to those less fortunate, to those who were their own brethren. Because that's where the gospel starts with. We are to be kind one to another. And it's speaking there of our love one for another, and the way we treat each other, speak to each other, deal with each other. There's so much more here. The instruction to remember. The importance, in closing, we have the implication of not remembering what the Lord has done. Here the Lord instructed his people for a very vital reason. To keep them from making shipwreck. To keep them from going astray. Because if we fail to remember what God has done, then we will forget him and turn aside. That is clearly demonstrated to the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. The church outwardly seemed to be perfect after all. They were serving the Lord. They were standing against false doctrine and teaching. They outwardly looked perfect. If you were in that day and generation, you'd say, man, that's the church you want to join. There's a congregation you really want to be amongst. They're doing everything by the book. It's perfect. In man's eyes. But not in God's. For basically they had fallen out of love with Jesus Christ. How tragic. The history of the children of Israel is of how they, time after time, after occasion, turned aside from the Lord. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore, I command thee this thing today. And the Lord saying to our hearts afresh, remember what I have done for you. Remember, child of God, you're standing in Christ. Remember, every single thing you have and ever will be is because of what I have freely given to you. But child of God, as we remember those things today, let us remember who the Lord is. The Almighty, the All-Powerful. The God who has met our need yesterday, today, and we can look with confidence to the future. What a great God we love, we serve, we adore. What about you today? Do you know the Lord? You see it? Can you remember how God brought you out of the bondage of your sin? If not, then you still are in that bondage. You need a Savior. The only Savior is Jesus Christ. I trust today that God will cause us to constantly and continually remember His grace, His goodness, His greatness in our lives. And to Him we give all the praise, the honor and the glory. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.